Let us open our Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. I'll read the verses 24 to 27, and then we'll go to chapter 37. We'll read the verses 1 to 10. And then, if you will, in a little while, we'll read from John 2 and John 3 as well. But let us begin with Ezekiel chapter 36. I'll read to you the verses 24 to 27. This is the living word of the life-giving God. I will take you from among the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. And I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. That is what is actually happening. Now we'll get the picture, the divine picture that God speaks and shows the prophet of Ezekiel in chapter 37. We'll read the verses 1 to 10. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. And he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews upon them, and flesh came upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, or to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray that he would open these words to our hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, what a glorious passage. A valley of dry bones comes to life by the Spirit of the living God. Father, teach us what these things mean. Show it and work it even into our very hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, who is the best interpreter of the words of Ezekiel? Who knows the meaning of these words best? Well, undoubtedly, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Spirit of the living God who wrote these words, he alone knows the fullness, the depth, and the width of these. In the same way, if you want to know what somebody means, you go to them and ask them, what do you mean by that? And so today I would like to look at Ezekiel 36 and 37 as we begin to dig deeper into this passage. I want to see how Jesus Christ explains and applies these words. And he does so in John chapter 3. But I'll read to you from John chapter 2, the verses 23 to 25. This is the introduction, really, to Jesus' words and explanation of Ezekiel 37. It says, so now when he was... This is John 2, verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust or believe himself to them, because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about men, for he himself knew what was in their heart. John writes that Jesus did not believe in the people who believed in him, and our translation rightly translates that as entrust himself to them. These people believed in Jesus because of the signs that they saw, but Jesus says, I see your heart, and I cannot put my trust in you. Sin was still living and moving in the heart. And I think I've said this before, but I wish that John chapter 3 would have started before this, so you would see the continuation, because John 3 is really the answer or the explanation to John chapter 2, these verses that we just read. And in John 3, we read this. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them. Nicodemus believed that Jesus was from God. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Jesus skips all the pleasantries. He doesn't say, well, thank you that you recognize that I am a man sent from God. Let me give you some of the depths of the things of God so that you may know more. He skips right away to the most pressing point for Nicodemus. He says, you, Nicodemus, must be born again. You must be born from above, for otherwise you cannot even see the kingdom of God. You think you are at the center of it as a leader of Israel, as the one who serves the one and living God. You are at the center of the nation that is at the center of God's plan, and so you must be confident that you know God. And Nicodemus says, you can't, or Jesus says to Nicodemus, you can't even see the kingdom of God. Being a leader of Israel is not a qualification. Believing in me, Jesus says, without a changed heart is not the qualification. There is only one qualification, Nicodemus, and it's this: you must be born again. You must come to a new birth. And so Nicodemus is shocked, and he responds, how can a man be born when he's old? Should he enter a second time into his mother's womb? How can you be born again? I mean, I am way bigger than my mother. How can I enter back into my mother? And how is that possible? What are you speaking about? And now Jesus comes to the principal thing, and Jesus is pointing Nicodemus to the Old Testament as he's using these words. He says, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then he says, a believer is one, as it is with the wind. You don't know where it comes from, but you hear the sound. Why does Jesus speak of water and spirit? And why does he suddenly speak about the wind? Well, Jesus is pointing Nicodemus back to Ezekiel 36 and 37. And so I have prepared an overview for you to see. There you can see this comparison of Jesus' words in John and Ezekiel's word in the book of Ezekiel. If you are on the radio, I'll try to make sure that I'll mention all the verses. The first teaching of Jesus is a spiritual new birth. Now remember, Jesus first says you must be born again. Nicodemus says, basically, I don't know what you're saying. So he says, let me define it. You must be born of water and of spirit. Now, the only place in the Old Testament, the book of Nicodemus, that he would have known and memorized and read all his life, the only place where you have water and spirit coming together in a sense of birth is Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27. Ezekiel 36, 25 says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. And verse 27 says, I will put my spirit within you. You must be born, Nicodemus, of water and of spirit. You must have the Holy Spirit cleansing you and giving new life to you. As we see in John 3, verse 5, you must be born of water and of spirit. And then to make Nicodemus absolutely sure where he is speaking about, he is referencing Ezekiel 37, that's why we read it earlier. Then he said unto me, in 37 verse 9, prophesy to the breath or to the wind. It continues on, and the breath or wind came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet an exceedingly great army. Now, if you remember, the word spirit, the word wind, the word breath is all the same word in the Hebrew and in the Greek. Well, of course, in Hebrew it's one word, in Greek it's a different word, but in Hebrew all these terms have the same word, and in Greek all these words have the same word. And so Jesus wants Nicodemus to look back into Ezekiel 37, where you have this valley of dry bones, people who had been born once but who were dead, and they needed to be revived. And so what God did in Ezekiel, you have Ezekiel prophesying, the wind, the Spirit of God comes and brings this, all these bones together, lays sinews and flesh on them, breathes life into them, and they stand as a living people. And in John, or Jesus says to Nicodemus in John 3 verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound, like the rattling of the bones in Ezekiel 37. And you hear its sounds, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. In other words, what Jesus is doing to Nicodemus, he is bringing Ezekiel 36 and 37 together, and he says to Nicodemus, this is what must happen to you. You are at this point in history. Ezekiel was looking forward to your day, Nicodemus. And this is what I've come to bring to you. I've come to bring you to life. You are that valley of dry bones that the Spirit has come to breathe life and to raise you up. In his commentary on John chapter 3 verse 5, D.A. Carson writes this: most important of all in explaining, understanding John 3 verse 5 is Ezekiel 36, the verses 25 to 27, where water and spirit come together so forcefully, the first to signify cleansing from impurity, and the second to depict the transformation of heart that will enable people to follow God wholly. In other words, as Nicodemus is hearing these words, he is to be brought back to Ezekiel 36 and 37. And so Jesus had come to fulfill the promises. If you remember in our study of Ezekiel, we've spoken about his death and resurrection, right? The first 24 chapters were to the death of Israel in Ezekiel's time. It was damnation, it was judgment, it was pouring out of God's angry words on Israel. And in chapter 24, the wife of Ezekiel died, and Israel died, cut off from God. But then in chapter 33 and onwards, Ezekiel receives a second call from God. And rather than a call to death, there's a call to life. And so the rest of Ezekiel, it's going up, and it ends up in this New Jerusalem vision in chapters 40 to 48. In other words, what Jesus is telling Nicodemus, he's saying, you, Nicodemus, are the first generation that are going to experience the regeneration, the new birth that Ezekiel prophesied to you. And so this morning, I would like to look into Ezekiel 36 through John chapter 3 with Nicodemus. I have 3 points. Nicodemus' spiritual condition before God. Secondly, Nicodemus' need for spiritual birth. And third, the message of God through John and Ezekiel to the world. Let's think about Nicodemus. John places Nicodemus among those whose hearts Jesus could not trust. And then Jesus places Nicodemus in the valley of dry bones. Now, this must have been a major shock for Nicodemus. For not only was he a leader of Israel, he was one of those who actually came to Jesus to listen to him. Nicodemus and the Jews of his time believed that God had done a major work on them. There was a reformation in Israel, right? The synagogues were flourishing. There was a real sense of godliness in Israel at the time of Nicodemus. There were synagogues, people reading and memorizing the Old Testament in Hebrew or in Greek. The Israelites were no longer worshiping idols. They fasted and prayed many times. They had transformed themselves in every conceivable way. You could honestly say the Israel from Ezekiel's time and the Israel from Nicodemus' time was a transformed Israel. They had gone from idolatry to a reinstitution of the Mosaic law, following it as far and as much they could. But Jesus looks at Nicodemus, and he looks at his heart. And he is not going to please Nicodemus' self-confidence of all the things they had done externally. You know why? Because Jesus really loved Nicodemus. He loved Nicodemus. And so he speaks to Nicodemus what he must know above all. Jesus sees that all the religion of Israel and all Nicodemus' learning had only cleansed the outside of the cup, but the inside was still dirty. Sure, he doesn't worship idols. He doesn't bow himself down for little statues in his house. Sure, he reads the Torah. He keeps the Sabbath. He does the fast. He lives morally. He feeds the poor. But his heart was dead. His heart was spiritually dead. God did not reign upon the throne of his heart. There was no living and true spirit of godliness and holiness in his life. He had not received the Holy Spirit. And because Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night for a private conversation with Jesus Christ, undoubtedly, and by the way, I think that John writes by night describes also the spiritual condition of Nicodemus still at that point. He comes to him at night in the darkness. Nicodemus was spiritually dry, like the valley of dead dry bones that were very dry. There was no true fellowship with God. The Spirit of God did not live inside his heart. Now, Jesus could have explained the Torah and Nicodemus would have been fascinated. Jesus could have spoken about the need to serve God and to be more zealous and to give more to God. And Nicodemus would have mostly likely jumped on with that and say, yes, let's find new ways where perhaps we could work together and transform the Israelites to make them even more religious. But Jesus says, you, Nicodemus, must be born of water and of spirit. You need to have the Holy Spirit do with that which he promised in Ezekiel 36. He must cleanse your hearts from all the inward idols of the heart. He must give you the Spirit of God so that you see him spiritually rather than merely the external forms of religion. Nicodemus needed a spiritual birth. We see that in John 3:3. And truly, truly, when Jesus says truly, truly, he says this is the reality. This is the absolute, ultimate, you need to know reality of life. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And later on, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless Nicodemus would go through a new birth, he would never see the kingdom of God. In other words, the only way for Nicodemus to truly belong to God, to be part of God's kingdom, of God's people, to walk with him and to be able to truly say, God is my God, he needs to enter into that kingdom, and that door is the new birth. He was born of his earthly parents, but now he needed to be born of God. He needed a spiritual birth. He needed to receive the life of God in his soul. Not just on the outside, not on the day-to-day tasks, but in his heart. Real life from God. John introduces Jesus' ministry in the same way. Have you noticed that in John chapter 1, verses 11 to 13? It says Jesus, or he, came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, who were born of God. Not just of the blood, not of their physical earthly parents, but had received life from God. In other words, they were born from above, or born again. And so to explain this to Nicodemus, Jesus points him to Ezekiel, and he tells him, unless Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27 is a reality in your life, you really don't belong to God yet. And you will not be able to see or enter the kingdom of God. And so what Jesus is saying in effect is that Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27 is the entrance into the kingdom of God. It's the gateway, the path, the door, the narrow gate through which a person must enter into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus needed to be washed of the heart, cleansed within, having a new spirit, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, all of Nicodemus' righteousness and good works was useless because he was still spiritually dead. Now, I heard an illustration once of a pastor who would take a blackboard, which I don't obviously have right here, but you can imagine this, and he would draw a circle, and he would write in it the sinful heart of man. And then he would draw a circle around it. And in that he would write good works. And then he would do a circle around that. And he would write right theology, good doctrine. He would write a circle, draw a circle around that. And he would write deacon and elder. He would do a circle around that. And he would write pastor. Then he looked at the people and he said, is this man a good man? All the people are saying, yeah, he's got good works. He knows the right things. He's served as a deacon and an elder. He has been a pastor. Certainly, this man must go to heaven. And the man pointed at the center, and he says, all of that is good, but this man does not yet go to heaven when he dies because of that sinful heart in the middle. And it doesn't matter how many layers you paint around it, unless that is removed, you will go to heaven. He could have drawn it the other way around, and he could have drawn all the circles away and just write down a newborn heart in the middle, and all those other things would be gone, but he would go to God because the heart was cleansed. And God only accepts people that are washed by the Spirit. Not in the external righteousness, but God's washing of the blood. Did you hear that hymn that we sang tonight? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. In other words, Nicodemus had to get rid of his confidence in all his works and all his status and all its history and his good name. He had to toss that all around to receive life. There's another man who had to do that. Do you remember the Apostle Paul? Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, he says, "For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, a righteousness from God that depends on faith." Paul said, I had all these circles, but the heart needed to have Christ. And so I tossed everything, and I considered them worse than the toilet, so that our heart might be cleansed by Jesus Christ. What Paul realized, and what Nicodemus had to realize, and did realize later on, if you read through John, Nicodemus becomes a follower of Christ. And we'll show in a little bit what is the message that turned Nicodemus to God. But Paul and Nicodemus both had to realize that all their religion was worthless before God, unless they had spiritual life given by God. They needed to be born of the Spirit. Jesus did not tell Nicodemus that he needed to be a harder worker. He did not tell Nicodemus that he needed to learn more or memorize better or suffer more. Jesus revealed to Nicodemus what he needed, spiritual life, so that Nicodemus would look for that which is accessible to everyone who seeks, including Nicodemus. Not a slow process of becoming more spiritual, not a Buddhistic lifestyle of living up on a mountain somewhere, of denying all your earthly needs, but the coming to God for radical new life by the Spirit of God. Nicodemus needed to pass from death to life. Just as in Ezekiel, Nicodemus needed to, as it were, be one of those dry bones on the valley where the Spirit of God would breathe life into him. And just as the bones were raised up, Nicodemus needed to be raised up to spiritual life. You know, for me, when I see Ezekiel 37, I'm so comforted that it says that the bones were very dry. Because if God could only work with fresh bones, I would be in no man's land. He works in even those who are very dry, who are totally dead and dried out. The giving of life comes from God. It's instantaneous. It's immediate. Something is dead or alive. Something is not half dead or half alive. You don't go into a percentage of death and life. You're not 5% alive and then 7% alive. You're either alive or you're dead. You never have a doctor that comes to you and says, you're dead for 25%. Now, you may have things that don't function, but something is either alive or it's dead. In the same way, the spirit, the bones were dead, and then they were alive. The same way, we don't say that you were born between January and December. It says, no, you were born on that day at that time. And I think in most hospitals in America, they'll write the minute of the birth, right? You were born at 12:05 in the morning of that day of that year. That's when you came out. And if the baby is healthy, what does it do? He begins to cry. He begins to breathe. He becomes aware of his life. In the same way, Nicodemus was to come to life in an instant. He was to receive the Spirit of God from dead to life. This was the message to Nicodemus. You must come to life. You must have that work in your heart which God not only told you that you need, but promised to you. Jesus tells Nicodemus that this work is a work from God. What do you think of these dry bones? What did they do to get the Spirit of God to breathe upon them? Well, all they were was very dry. But then when the Spirit of God came, it breathed and it brought them to life, and they came to life. When you walk somebody and suddenly a gush of wind comes by as you walk, you don't know where it comes from, but you know that there is a wind, isn't it? You see it. And so Jesus tells Nicodemus, so it is with all who are born of God. You don't know where it comes from. I remember this at times when you are somewhere where the gospel is preached, you don't know who is going to come to life. You think, well, that person will very likely come to life, and suddenly it's the awkward, unknown person in the corner that stands up and has come to life. You don't know where it comes from. You cannot predict it. It's a mystery of God in the heart of men. But you know when it's happened. And so it is today. We never predict who is born, who comes to be a believer. We never predict who receives the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Spirit. It's a mystery hidden deep within the wisdom of God. But you can certainly see when somebody comes to life because he begins to act like his Father. He begins to walk in the path of his Heavenly Father. He begins to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ in speech, in heart, in love, in actions. You can see he is his Father's son or his Father's daughter. You can see where the life comes from. And in the same way, Nicodemus, I'm sure, would have resembled his parents in many ways. But once he was born of God, he began to resemble Christ because he was born of God. What Jesus is telling Nicodemus is wonderful news. And we see through the Gospel of John that the Holy Spirit brought Nicodemus to life as he became a believer of Jesus Christ. Nicodemus came to experience the new life prophesied by Ezekiel. Can you imagine the joy of Nicodemus' heart? Where he thought before, we've done a lot of things, we've done a lot of work, but in his heart it must have still been, but Ezekiel 36 and 37, it's God breathing. What is this breath of God that comes? And then when he heard Christ speak, he came in the dark, but he walked out as a son and a child of light, which is the message of God to us, to John and Ezekiel. What is the Spirit of God speaking to us? Well, in essence, is this. Whether we like it or not, you and I, when we were born of our earthly parents, we are born as a gift of God to have life in this world. We are born of the flesh. We are born of blood. We have the blood of our parents in some real sense flowing through us. We share the DNA of our parents. But spiritually, we still need to be born of God. We need a new life, a new heart, and a new spirit from God. Whether you grow up in a ghetto, whether you have shot people or worse, or whether you grow up in a pastor's home, whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, whether you have a prison record or a clean record, you and I, from the moment we were born, had the need to be born again, born of God. You must be, I must be born of God. We must receive this heavenly birth, and we must receive the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus did not tell Nicodemus that he had to make himself to be born again and just leave it with that. He told him how this new birth would come. Jesus tells him in John 3, 12 to 15, I have told you of earthly things. What is an earthly thing? You must be born again is an earthly thing that happens on this earth, in this life. That's what Jesus is referring to. I'm speaking of earthly things. It must happen on the earth. New birth doesn't happen in heaven. It happens on earth. And he says, Jesus continues, you do not believe. How can I tell you of heavenly things? Nicodemus, you must have the basics. You must become a spiritual baby before you can go on to the maturity of the things of heaven. No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven. In other words, I am the one who can bring you there, the Son of Man. Now Jesus is going to tell them how to be born again. Verse 14, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Nicodemus says, I'm already alive. Yes, you have earthly temporal life, but you need to receive eternal life, which is not only a lengthening of our earthly life, it's a different quality. It's the new birth life. Jesus says, the Old Testament gives you the picture, Nicodemus, of the new birth. And I'm going to lay it out for you. Do you remember when Moses lifted up the serpent in the Old Testament? You remember that? The Israelites had complained against God. They had been angry with God. And God says, all right, he sends snakes, serpents among them, and they get bit, and people are dying everywhere. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, that's where you are. You've been bitten by the serpent, you've been bitten by sin, and you're on your way to death. As Adam died, you are dying. You're lying on the desert floor, dying in your sin. But do you remember what happened? God told Moses to make the serpent and to lift it up, and to anyone, good or bad, young or old, to anyone who would look upon that bronze serpent, they would be instantly, immediately, and totally saved from the serpent's poison. They would receive life again from God. And so what Jesus is telling Nicodemus is this. You are in the valley of Ezekiel 37. You are one of those who have been bitten by sin. You have sin in your heart. You have sin on your life. You have sin in your historical record. There's sin everywhere. There's sin ahead of you. There's sin in the past. Sin is surrounding you. You are dying. You're lying on the desert floor. There's only one way that you can survive and have eternal life. You must look to he who is lifted up by God. Who was lifted up by God? Jesus Christ. It says, whoever believes in him, who? The one, the Son of Man, that must be lifted up. In other words, the new birth happens to those who walk on this earth. It's an earthly matter, who are on this earth, who recognize they're dying, they've been bit by the serpent, they're sinners, they're dying in their sin, they're falling away, they're perishing, they see the life sipping out of them. But then God raises up the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, dying for sinners. And he says, everyone who doesn't try to heal himself but looks upon the Son of Man upon the cross will be born again. That's the message. In the same way that the people, the Israelites, were saved when they looked at the serpent, in the same way those of you and me, myself, as we have bitten by the serpent, as we are dying in our sin, whoever looks upon the Son of Man will receive eternal life. Beloved, the way to life is by looking at Jesus Christ. By looking on him, a dying man upon the cross, who hangs there for me, who dies my death so I don't need to die. That's the reason why looking to Christ saves a man or a woman or brings him to life. Now, in Jesus' time, when Nicodemus came to him, Nicodemus looked to Christ. That's why he became a believer and served Christ the rest of the book of John. But most people in Israel, at least through Jesus' life, would not look to Jesus Christ. I said, I'll heal myself. I only need a little scraping of the skin to get the sin off. I'm not dead, and so I don't need life. But the only way that a person can have life is when they realize they're dead. Can you imagine a man who was bitten by a serpent who didn't feel totally well but just kept on walking in the desert? When Moses lowered down that serpent, he would have no chance to be healed. So it is today. We will do everything to not have to admit that we are spiritually dead and totally in need of new life. But the good news is that everyone that looks upon the Son of Man that is lifted up, that looks upon Jesus Christ as a dead sinner, will find new life in Christ. That is why the church is called the Way. The people who look to Christ and follow Him. It's not something that you do or something you add to your life or some kind of diligence or keeping some kind of law, and by that way you're going to be saved. It's by seeing as a dead man upon the dying Christ so that you die with Christ and be raised to newness of life. If you're here today and you're not born again, you don't have the Spirit of God, you're dead in your sins. But if you turn and look at Christ, He will certainly give you life. And if you have seen Christ and you have the life of God, we will see next week what are the possibilities of the Christian life after God has done the work of Ezekiel 36. So let us pray. The Heavenly Father, Lord, it is a mystery beyond mysteries to think that we listened to the serpent and caused ourselves to be dying in our sins, that you would send your Son to die for our sins, so that only a look upon you will change our lives as dead men to bring us to life in Christ. So, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would help these words that have been spoken to bring them with clarity and with power to our hearts, that those who are dead might come to life and those who have come to life might rejoice in the awesome miracle of your Spirit. For Father, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.